Hey y'all, hey, it is me, Dr. O, here for another wonderful episode of Dr. O After Dark. I am so excited tonight to have this very wonderful woman here to celebrate Women's History Month with us, Miss Marlene. Hey, so we know that you are a mother.
Mother four.
A four. A grandmother
of seven.
Seven. Y'all, when she was coming in, I was like, seven where? Actress, model.
Yes, writer too. I've been writing a book.
Writer.
Yes.
All right. So yes. Tell us more. Let's jump right into it. Tell us more about you. And I'm really interested in the writing.
Well, my name is Marlene Proctor. I came to Atlanta for 2 days for a visit. And now I have been here, my birthday in June, I'll be here 31 years.
Oh my God. So what brought you here?
So when I came to visit, they showed me the good life. They did. They did. And I'm gonna be real. It's nighttime talk too. They introduced me to the strip club.
Male, female, both.
Talking about the people that brought me here?
Which strip club? Would they introduce you to?
They introduced
the Luscious and the Male Review. Shout out, it is Thursday night. Y'all catch out Luscious and the Male Review on Thursday night. Ow. Was it the ladies?
It was the ladies.
The Stroke,
baby. I love
the Magic City.
I started on Old National and Gabby Road at a club. It was called Playboy Palace. It's something else now. I forget what it is now.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that, but you know, the Pink Pony, all those back in the day.
That Playboy Palace was the it.
You went there for the wings, didn't you? They took you there for the wings.
It was the money, the man, and the music.
The money, man, money, man, and music. Hey, money, man, and music. Hey, money, man, and music. Hey. You know, I need to have a little poll coming down in Dr. O After Dark. I'm sure we can use it therapeutically in some type of way. Money, men, and music.
Yes, and then I went to Club Nikki's, and then I went to Magic City, then I went to Blue Flame, and I did go to Stroke. I did work at Stroker's as well.
Okay, so that's what I was gonna ask. Like, I was just like the ladies, I like to party, or was you there? Like, no, I was there.
I became a dancer.
Okay.
I did, I became a dancer. I had no rhythm when I first got here. I was a little thing. I'm little still, but I was little. But it was something about Atlanta. It's like they treated me like royalty. Like, I came here, but I come from Chicago, so it was very ruthless and scary. I didn't think I was gonna make it to 21.
Mm.
And I get here, and it was, oh my God, Club 112. That was
Old Peachtree Street, like when all the clubs.
I'm telling my age, but you already know my age. Like I said, I'm Grand Sheeran. That's how they talk in Atlanta, y'all. But they used to talk about how proper I used to talk because I'm a military brat.
Okay.
So, but now, and then when I first got here, I was not friendly like I am now. I definitely turned into a Georgia peach. So I actually got fired from my first strip club, Playboy Palace. Tommy and Andre fired me. But then they found me to come back to work for them at Rockefeller's. But anyway, it's because the girl came to me and it was nothing but God. Because I was about to, this guy was coming from Texas and he was giving me all kind of weed, for free.
And God be in the strip clubs too.
And so the girl was stopping me, which wasn't under God, because I was about to go sell some weed to these guys I didn't even know.
Mm.
So it wasn't under God. So she stops me in the middle of the club, you know, talking about who you think you are. First of all, baby, I'm gonna need to get your finger out my face. Anyway, make a long story short, she did it a third time and I just went off on her. I fought her.
You from Chicago and you let her do it three times?
I gave her two chances. Well, I don't know, because after I told her the second time and she went to do it again, that's when they said I wasn't Holyfield, I was Mike on her or something. Whatever they said, they fired me because I hit her first.
Okay, and then you bit off her ear.
Yeah, right. So then I go to Club Nikki's, and this, I don't know if they still do it, but this, back in my day, you had to get an amateur contest to be able to work at these clubs. And I was always first place in all of them, other than Magic City. I was second. But at Nikki's, the first time I went on the Wednesday to go in an amateur contest, it was a shootout. And I went number 18, y'all. I was 18 here by myself.
Oh my God.
And my brave ass went, can I come? My brave self went back the next week and won first place, y'all. But let me tell y'all, when I won first place and went in the locker room, remember, I got a bag full of money. I done won first place. I got the bag full of money from all the tips that I got from all the, you know, everybody was at the front for Nikki. Nikki, looking for Nikki. But guess what happened?
What happened?
So I had the $500 I won and I had all the tip money I won. So I get in the dressing room, about to, you know.
Another fight.
No, them bitches turned the lights out on me. They were finna get me. If it was not for the house mom, and her name was Kiki from Jamaica. And in her Kiki and her Jamaica voice, thank you, Kiki, wherever you are today. I named my baby after you, girl. She turned the light back on in her Jamaican voice and said, no, not this one. Y'all gonna leave her alone. You know, however they talking. And of course, I gave her a good tip. And guess what? I was able to work there with no problems.
Well, what we know that's not going to happen as you an actress is that you're not going to be playing no Jamaican roles.
I have to be around it. I have to be around it. I have to get the vibe. I have to be around it. I cannot just freelance it. I have to, like, I can adapt to certain things, but no.
But you hit it when you said, you know, you're telling your age, because I'm like, yeah, you know, I remember back, and I don't know, just as you do, because we had a kind of that lifestyle, and they, well, I ain't even gonna lie, I like the strip clubs. I was never a stripper, but I still like to frequent the clubs. But I remember when I first moved out here, you're right, you know, it was an amateur night. I was 24, single parent, and I did consider it. I did consider it, but I'm like you. I was like, I didn't have any rhythm at the time. I didn't drink at all, and you know, and so
that
I was, I knew that I wasn't. I mean, I did some other things, you know, and things like that. That was back when Craigslist was on and popping too, so you know.
It's funny that you say that too, because I kept wondering why I didn't fit in with the girls back them days. Why I didn't hang out? But now I figured it out. It's because I wasn't doing what they were doing. They were tricking. Mm-hmm. Not to say I ain't try it. I did try. I tried, but it's scary and But and you know, of course, the powder and the two women and stuff like that and all of that. And I wasn't into that. I literally went to, and I had a good time. Don't get me wrong. I partied hardy. But I treated it just like a job. And I did have my mother in my ear. Just because you're a dancer, it don't mean you act like one and dress like one. You still act like a lady. You know, so I had her in my ear, you know.
And I think that even, you know, as you mentioned, being from Chicago, the culture is just a lot different. I'm from, you know, Seattle. And so, like, probably like you, I was really naive. So going back to like when I said Craigslist, let's make it clear, I was not tricking neither. I was on the what is it? What's the movie? Pretty Lady in Red, what's some, with Julia Roberts.
And Pretty Woman.
Yes, I was on a Pretty Woman. So that's what I thought, like when they had the ads for escorting and things like that. And I'm like, oh, I can do this. You want to take me out on a date and pay me and da da da?
I did do that. I did that one time.
Yeah, so that's what I thought.
I did it for a governor. I did.
Yeah, I tried and I realized real quick that it was not
that's
pretty.
What I said. I didn't fit in.
Yeah, it was not Pretty Woman. And I still had, with the stripping, and I didn't get into that because I said I was a, you know, single parent. And so I'm like, you know, the whole image, I ain't got no rhythm. You know, I got stretch marks and all this. These women are supposed to be, you know, gorgeous. And I met, funny story, met this guy. And first of all, y'all, because y'all still do it today, y'all need to stop that faking. from like, oh yeah, I got a BMW, I've got that. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm
flexing.
Young.
They call it flexing.
Yes, all flexing. The flexing. He did have a BMW. Probably but what he didn't tell me was that BMW was about 50 years old, and we out there with like the Flintstones doing this to get it to go, and it didn't have no bottom in the floor and everything else, but it was still a BMW.
Right.
I don't know what color it was because that red paint was so faded and everything else. But anyways, pick me up. We're going out on a date. Hopefully going out to the restaurant. On the way out, he gets his phone call, and he says, oh, I have to make a stop really quick because I do makeup on the side now. Again, I'm makeup. New to Atlanta. I should have known then.
Makeup?
I should, that's what I'm saying. I should have known then. Now, of course, it didn't go much further than that, but I should have known.
Right, right. Something,
I should have known something. Not too many. There's only a certain few that do makeup here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
That are males.
Yeah. In here.
Love everybody.
I loved it though. It was a different atmosphere for me when I got here. I was treated like Hollywood already when I got here. So it's like it's crazy because it's the music industry that I got involved with basically then, you know, I was always around the, you know, like Too Short, Todd, and Doc, DLC, MC Breed, DFC. I was like the little sister, but I did date one of them.
Okay.
My son is by DFC, T-Double.
Okay.
But I was like the little sister. They treated me with, you know, with the utmost respect. But they would be like, sis, go get her. We want her. So I was that one to go get my brother want to talk to you, girl. But it was amazing. It was amazing. And for that, and I'm saying that to say this, for that transition, and then I went through raising my children and being married to him passing away 3 years ago around this time, to now back into it, but in a different...
In like, a different way.
Yes. Yeah. Now it's like, because it was a year after he passed, that I just so happened to answer the email. But I'm going to rewind a little bit. So remember, I'm from Chicago, and that's where Oprah, you know, her studios were.
Yeah.
So when I was 15, I was on Oprah.
Oh, wow.
I was in the audience sitting right behind her with my mother. So that's when we found out it takes 8 hours to do a one-hour show. That's when we found that out. And, you know, she also had me, and I was an athlete.
Okay.
But then I come here, then, you know, I have my kids, I raised my kids, and when they got in kindergarten, that's when I stopped dancing, my oldest.
Okay.
Now she'll be 31. Yeah.
yeah, you see me looking like 31?
Yeah, she'll be 31. Can't say the date. Cut that. Can't say the date because we're in March right now, but she'll be 31 in 4 weeks.
Okay.
Yes. And so to say, and now, like I said, after the year that I answered an email from Oprah, you know, being on Oprah when I was 15 to Hilton Caston being on Black Women Own the Conversation in the audience. And that casting, you know, they had been emailing me when he was alive, but I never would respond. So as I was going down bad, you know, God just so happened to put this whole new, and now I'm on all kind of major TV shows and movies. Like, I probably have done at least in the 2 years, minus the 8 months for strike.
Okay,
so not even a year and a half. I probably have done 50 projects.
Oh my goodness.
And probably made more than 20 cuts so far. And everything hasn't even played yet.
So after your husband passed, you said that about a year later you got this email. And the email was
It was for P-Valley. P-Valley season 2.
Bringing it back full circle.
See what I'm saying?
So it was just preparing.
Yeah.
You was acting then, because you never did.
I didn't even know. And then I was like, oh, I get to do it and not do it for real? Like, what?
But, I mean, they already thought you coming here from Chicago, that you were like Lisa Ray. You know, you got to use what you got to get you what know, you want.
But they did. They treated me like I would have thought. You would have thought I was Lisa Ray, Whitney, Alicia Keys, or Mariah. Well, without the voice, y'all. But that's how I got treated here. My brother even told me one time, you know, just coming to downtown, the cars just stopping in the middle of the road. He's like, I'm never walking downtown with you again. It's like, why? He was damn near my security, you know? He's like, Because I, you know, it was just so, it was Freaknik time.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I was about to say. But I mean, we stopped in the middle of the road many a time.
Right, but I have to say, with the Freaknik and Daytona, which I was, you know, honored to be a part and see what was really going on. But again, it wasn't for me. I had to stay in the background because, you know, how they were talking about the videos and people on the video, because they were being really nasty. They was like, they was digging up your clothes, walking by them, they was digging up your clothes, they were trying to grope you and stuff like that.
I came, I didn't move here yet during the Freaking time. I've been a Freaking one time, but it was like, it wasn't when it was the major part. I came like towards the end.
Oh, okay. And you wasn't like, here when all the cars. It was.
No, I was here during then.
It was so
like
wonderful.
1 year, probably.
I remember about 95, like, 96.
No, a little bit later.
Oh, yeah.
See, I wasn't in the home, but it was still crowded. Yes. It was still the people
so
acting
beautiful.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It was
they
still,
were acting more crazy then.
You know,
that's why they stopped it.
Yes, exactly.
But at first, it was a beautiful thing. All us Black folks getting together, showing the fancy cars coming from state to state. Oh, it was beautiful.
I didn't get any.
You couldn't tell me I want to start in. It was beautiful. It was
of that. But we had an amazing time. I still got the pictures to show. Ow.
I don't have any. I moved so much and I was so irresponsible. I don't have none of them, but I know a lot of people do. Because I say this, because I did a show in Tennessee one time and they paid me $20 per picture to take with the guys. I was not naked. Okay. I was in my dress. I had a purple dress on.
I mean, I hope
on.
Not I for $20. It. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, back then, you know, it wasn't, you know, it was just a picture, hey, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. And but the line was out the door. So them little $20 added up, baby. So that was pretty cool. That was, I wouldn't take back none of it other than I was not responsible with the money at all. I just lived because I thought I could make it again tomorrow. With that song, Spend a Check, Get It Right Back. What, how it go?
That's one of the new songs. I just told you.
Well, remember, I have children that age. I have one that's about to be 31, one that's 29, one's about to be 26, and one is about to be 25.
Okay. Well, I mean, I got a...
But they teach me the lingo.
Yeah, I got a 20-year-old and an 11-year-old.
Okay,
so, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm supposed to kind of know. I was telling them earlier, like my 11-year-old, she teaches, you know, me so much. She's in middle school now.
They will.
And so she comes out, she was like, they're like, guap, guap.
See,
and I'm like, what the heck? What is like, guap, mom? Like, you know, she's looking at me in the bathroom like, guap. And I'm like, okay.
I don't know that one.
What is that? And she was like, oh, we say that at school. Okay, what does it mean? She was like, I think it means you're pretty, because that's what the boys say. Oh. You know, when girls walk past and they look at, you know, and they got a nice butt or something like that. And I'm like, really?
So when I first got here, it was Shouty Red. That was my name.
I believe that everybody. Everybody was Shouty. And if you were fair skinned, it was red.
Yes, it was. It was.
I had to Google what guat was.
What was it?
It's a new thing when they're saying got.
Oh.
So it's like goddamn. So all they say now is got. And she ain't around here like guat. Guat.
I'm gonna use that one though.
I'm gonna go and I'd be like, guap.
They're gonna be like, mom. They already be talking about me enough already, cause I be, my daughter says I'm a Jagger swagger. I'll steal your swag in a minute, baby.
Hey.
That's why I say I'm adaptable. I gotta be around. I'll be around you, start talking like you, walking like you, you know, just.
That is that code switching.
Oh.
Yes.
What do you call it?
Code switching. That is a technical term, and it is built through, a lot of times, mental health trauma. So, when we're in, you ever been into like an industry and it's like, you know, one way you're like, yeah, I'm here with my homegirls, yada, 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 and we, da, da, da. But when you go into work, you're like, hi, Susie.
Yes. Yes. How are you doing? And then like, yeah, yeah. Cause then I'd be like on another part, I'd be like, and the children getting on my dang nerve. But now the children are so very well.
And my dad's side of the family, and they're all from Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yeah.
So this is me, my regular talk, but when I get down there, I'll be like, hey, y'all.
Wow. So that is.
How y'all doing?
Yeah, you know. And that you say from trauma, too, that's pretty deep. Because like I said, I was a military brat. So my dad, he died when I was 13, going on 14, Agent Orange. And, he did three tours in Nam. Wow. And he used to beat mama every weekend. And we used to have to barricade because she know when he come home, he finna get her. We used to have to barricade ourselves in the bathroom or in the bedroom so he couldn't. And then if he did, she put me out the window to go to the neighbor to call 911. Sometimes I have to go out the window 6 inches snow, barefooted in my pajamas.
Wow.
Now, but go ahead. Uh-huh, she still took care of this man to the day he died at home.
And that's what I was going to ask. When he passed away, was it like a part of duty or no?
Well, he was still in service. And that's when they found the cancer, but they didn't say Agent Orange.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
But he did. We had about, it happened really fast, but we had 8 months to prepare.
Wow. And you said you were 13?
Going on 14.
I want to get into, you know, some of that, but what that is resonating with me is we just were talking about your ex-husband who also passed. So it seems like there was a, you know, you've experienced, I think, a lot of loss. How long were you married for?
10 years. And I have to say, in that part, and I'm going to say, I say my husband, but we was not legally married, but we were together.
And that's common law, right?
But I just want to just know that because you know,
yeah, in case all of y'all that come back to trolls, like, he was never married to him,
right? Because I'm not even in no obituary as a special friend.
That was his mama
and the sisters and the baby mama.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can I say the bitter baby mama? Can I say that on here?
Yes,
the bitter
you can.
Baby mama.
Because there's many of y'all out there.
And she wouldn't even let their daughter be with my children. She said they had to heal. But 10 years, baby, I never met you. I met you after the fact. After the fact that they don't let you dress him, take over everything. I couldn't even go to the funeral, which he didn't want one anyway. And I forgot, the reason why he didn't want a funeral, because he didn't want his fake family to be there over him, talking about this and that, knowing that they didn't give a doggone. And I did, was able to go to the wake, because I waited till after the family time.
Yeah.
But they still messed with me in there. And it was, but it showed me what he was talking about. Because as he was laying in the casket, the baby mama's mama and the other sister came in. I don't know these people at the time. This lady talking about, oh, be Scotty. And she done put the man in jail 3 times. See what I'm saying? And then she looks at me, and who are you?
You already know who I am. You already know.
So I had to be in my best behavior because I have my grandkids. At the time, it was only 3 or 4 at the time. Because granddad was granddad. That's all my children know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to be good because it was a bad situation. And then the sister and the husband came up there like they was going to do something. But God is good. A guy from the streets told me where my man was at. They wouldn't even tell me where they had him at.
Wow. Now, how long ago was this?
3 years ago.
So it's still really fresh. And, you know, I can tell it's fresh because I still hear it in your voice. I see, you know, you're tearing up. Have you grieved? Had the opportunity to grieve? Or get your own healing.
And that's what I was gonna say. And I'm not trying to cry, y'all. I got these lashes on and I gotta stay on them.
It's okay if they use a little calico.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's cute. I wouldn't even act like, you know, I even see it.
Yes.
Y'all be seeing me looking at you like that, but I might be paying attention.
The thing about it is the way it probably wouldn't have been. I mean, it's still been bad because it happened instantly. He was only 42 years old. Major heart attack.
Oh my God.
The Widowmaker, and it's hereditary. It's real out there for Black men to take care of themselves and answer the correct answers when the doctor asks you. But it's not like that. We wasn't getting him seen about. It just, like my mom said, when it's your time to go. But to go back to your question, have I healed? I think I'm still healing.
Okay.
But like I said, I was going down bad, but when I got that email, it brought me, this has brought me back to life. It gave me like, it's so for real. It's so real. Like God, if you don't know there's a God, there's a God. And then it's just to put me on TV because it's like, now y'all still got to see me anyway. Y'all
exactly.
See me everywhere.
Exactly. Y'all.
But you know, but that being said, I had to go through a lot because even like I said with the obituary, I put on pictures of us, the family, him, the kids, and our dogs and stuff. So I go and look. They done deleted the pictures off the public obituary as well.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's kind of hard to heal when you still got, you know. And then they celebrate a different date. They didn't even put the dates on the headstone. Yeah, true story. I can't make this up. I don't wish it on my worst enemy.
So how did losing your father and the, you know, kind of growing up with that abuse and things like that, and I guess maybe even now as an adult, you understand maybe more that about, you know, Agent Orange, you understand more about, you know, PTSD and the war trauma and different things of that nature, and not, you know, making an excuse for the abuse and the domestic violence and things like that. But as you're older now, you're understanding that this was trauma and maybe he couldn't help some of the things that he did and some of his behavior. So maybe having a little bit more compassion and regretting even, you know, his sudden death, and then turning around and kind of having the same experience with sudden death with your life partner. And
that
then
hit hard.
It
was more like my dad again. Like he was like my dad, you know. But with that, what you said with my dad, I got therapy for that, you know, because I was young. So it was a program called I Have a Dream program that adopted our eighth grade class. And they put me in therapy. They put me in a Catholic high school where every third period I had therapy. And every Wednesday they would come and get me to do a one-on-one. So that helped me. And that being said, they was like, he might not was a good husband, but he was a good daddy. Because I couldn't figure out why I was such a daddy's girl.
Mm-hmm.
And they was like, because he was a good daddy, he just wasn't a good husband. But there's more to the story about how him and my mom got together too, though.
And let's get into that, because I know we haven't talked about it here, but I was also wondering if, knowing that you shared earlier, you're biracial, white mom and Black, I would assume, Black father.
And he wasn't my biological.
Okay.
He's the man that raised me.
He's a rat. And so what? Well, so then let me clarify, was he then Black or African?
Yes, he's Black.
Okay,
yes.
So when we think about that, oftentimes there is a stigmatization that white women, they kind of go, they're more pushover than, I ain't dealing with that, no, da, da, da. And we know that, especially when it comes to domestic violence, race, sex, sexual orientation, sexual preference, age, none of that matters. None of that matters, because we all have been victims of it across the dysphoria. But I'm wondering, do you feel like that took a part or a play at all? Race, did it play did it have any part, or how did it have a part? Because I'm sure that not serious? Necessarily in domestic violence, but just
in general, everything
in general.
So, you know, okay.
Especially back then.
I was just about to say, so that I was the military brat, we traveled. So I was mm-hmm. a new girl everywhere we went.
Okay.
And of course, all the boys loved me.
Mm-hmm.
But all, and I have to say this is the truth. The black girls did not.
Mm-hmm.
I had to fight all my life. But that's when third grade, I used to be scared and come home crying, telling daddy how these people just keep messing with me. And the black man, you know, my mama, the white woman, turned the other cheek and tell on him. Daddy said, no, you don't go out there and beat their ass. I'm gonna beat yours. And then you go back out there, you're gonna either get two or one. Which one you want?
You better pick it the biggest thing.
And guess what? And I'm not, because I got a whooping once a year, baby. That's all. I got in trouble once a year. You know, big trouble. Now, you know, throughout the year, I get a little pop on the butt from a smart mouth or something like that. Or no, I used to poke out my lips.
Okay.
All right, wait. Look.
Fighting.
Yeah. So that being said, I was bullied a lot. And then third grade, daddy said I couldn't come home crying no more. And I told him I'd be scared. They bigger than me, or it's a boy messing with me. He said, I don't. You know, my dad was a cusser because he was in the Army, y'all, 30 years. So every word.
It's after dark.
Every word. He said, motherfucker, they beat they motherfucking ass. Pick up some and knock them upside the head. He actually trained me like the Women King. On the Women King, how you do your eyeballs. And so he was actually, and then I'm not playing, y'all. And then he'll tell me how to grab their breasts and twist them, you know. So it was on and popping after that. So all of a sudden, I can't remember which one first, but this boy was messing with me in the neighborhood. We lived on Post. We was in the, you know, and can't remember the little boy's name, but he was messing with me. He probably liked me, but he kept messing with me, and I told him, leave me alone. And remember, Daddy said, I can't come home crying no more. So I done picked up a baton and knocked him upside his head and then ran home. Then I sat on the stair because then you hear a... So daddy goes to the door because I don't know if I'm in trouble because this is what daddy told me to do. So I'm just sitting there. I know he's smiling in the inside. I know he's smiling. And they knock on the door. They was and they was like, your daughter gave our son, we had to go to the hospital to give our son a concussion. My dad said, what did your son do to my daughter? And then whatever happened, he shut the door in their face. And he came to me on the stairs and he said, you want Dairy Queen?
Exactly.
Watermelon.
Exactly.
That was the first time. Then the second time, it was a friend of mine, so-called friend of mine, because of being in the military. So when I would go from home from Chicago to Virginia, they put me back a grade. I go from Virginia to Chicago, they put me up a grade. So my friend knew this. Her name was Crystal, I think, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
She's supposed to be one of my best friends, but she had a friend with her. You know how girls get to acting? That's what daddy taught me, too. They don't be playing, they be trying you. So we was on some swings, three swings. I'm in the middle, my friend Chris on this side, the other friend. And she was teasing me about how I was gonna be in third grade again. She was talking shit. So I got out the swing and I started fighting both of them. And then I ran home again.
You did say you were an athlete.
You know, right, yes, but I did. I ran track and cross country as well. But again, so the girl had to go to the hospital because my nails, I had really long nails back then, and I fucked her face all the way up, and she had to get butterflies in her face, so she came and told on me. But again, daddy said, you want Dairy Queen or watermelon? So I got rewarded for not, you know, even though I still ran home afterward, but I wasn't running home crying. It was like, oh shit, daddy, I did it. You told me to do it, daddy. So yeah, that was the difference between the white and the black, because daddy was like, don't let them play with your hair. Okay.
It seems like you need one of my shirts, and I love this. Yeah, if you haven't noticed, y'all can't see this. It's my custom shirt that is, I'm not Sugar and Spice.
Okay.
I'm more of the stage and hood. And I
and wish a motherfucker would. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, this is Dr. O. And I got the Dr. O on this, so y'all don't get twisted. Because I'm a doctor.
Okay.
You know, we're going to pull off some sage.
Okay, I like that.
Real hood.
Yeah, and I like that shirt. I definitely need one. I definitely need one.
We'll tell you. I will tell you where to get it from, but they're not one of the sponsors.
Okay, all right. So okay, I'll tell you afterwards.
Tell me later. If you want to be a sponsor, then I'll, you know.
Okay.
Listen, by the way, we are looking for more sponsors. You want to be on Dr. Raff the Dark with a huge audience? Holla at your girl. Find us on Dr. Olivia West on all platforms. Shameless, but not shameless, plug. Speaking of all platforms, I know you on the big screen.
God, it's so amazing. It's so amazing. It feels so, it hasn't even really just sunk in yet. Like I just did, you know, The Color Purple just came out. I'm in The Color Purple.
Okay, no, the one that you've been talking about Oprah the whole time. You even got in and gave some of The Color Purple. All my life I had to fight.
And I actually was on there.
If y'all have not went and checked out and seen The Color Purple,
yes,
y'all make sure what y'all do.
And The Underdogs that just came out too. And Zatima season 2 episode 4. BMF season 2 episode 4. 6 and 8.
P-Valley.
P-Valley, I did not make that cut. It was with Megan Thee Stallion. But they did, they had me coming back, and they said it was due to COVID of why they cut a lot of the stuff. But I just felt like that was just God putting it.
But you still did it.
Oh, I still did it. I still got a check. I got the check for it, for sure. But I didn't make that edit on that one. No, I didn't. And that was like the first time, so I was even bragging about it before I went. And then I had one friend say, I've been watching it. I ain't seen you. I said, I know. I'm not in that girl, but you're going to see me in a minute. But,
oh, yeah, see? Yeah. So it's a lot. Been down in Atlanta real long now because did y'all catch that? I done seen you. I told you.
It can come out. It will come out. It will come out. Yes.
Well, besides on the big screen and the smaller ones as well, all the screens, where can we find you?
Marlene Proctor, the actress. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I'm just starting a YouTube, so bear with me. I'll be starting a website pretty soon. Like I said, I just totally got into this. This is therapy for me. I didn't get into this for the money. I didn't get into it, but just to save my life. And I love the surroundings. I love the like-minded people. Like, we're all weird in some kind of way. Why I didn't fit in too. Like, I fit in here though. I fit in this industry. Like, I fit. I finally found my place.
There is so much that we can talk about. I mean, you have so many different levels from, you know, the military and, you know, what we often, you know, focus on and things like that is what's considered like developmental trauma. So then we can say, okay, yes, domestic violence. We know that's dramatic. Death, loss, we know that's traumatic. But the other little things that we might say, oh no, that's just part of growing up.
Like raising kids.
And the bullying. And
the
you
bullying.
Know.
Yeah, you know, that was serious.
And so you have so many, like, even the what I was getting to with the military is the moving around and having to start all over, having to start make new friends, having to learn new teachers. That at that age, when you're a child, 4, 5, 6, 10 years old, is very traumatic for, you know, can be very traumatic for the child. So you have the military, you have the domestic violence, then we have the race-based stuff.
Because, you know, with my mom's side, you know, she got disowned. So we got left out of everything because she liked the black people. So they didn't like us. I didn't have a grandma.
See, that is, I mean, I'm really here, like, ready to ask more questions.
I know, but we gotta go. Yeah, I know, we gotta go.
And then even we didn't even touch about when we talk about the race-based stuff, what you mentioned is the colorism.
They call me Zebra. I used to catch hell in school, especially with the nose, the white girl nose and all that stuff. And then, of course, booty. Little booties matter, y'all. I don't care what y'all say. Little booties matter.
They little booty hoes.
What with it.
But sorry, yeah, I ain't got that problem.
Right, I see. You got it. And I give women their props. I don't like women like that, but I give them their props because that's what I worked around women. And we, you know, you have to tell each other.
Women History Month.
Yeah, and it's Women History Month.
Amen. Shout out to all of the women, all of the ladies.
Yes.
Dancers, actors, actresses.
All of that, baby.
Technicians, models, clinicians. We appreciate all of you. We appreciate you.
And I appreciate you for having me. And God is so amazing.
And again, as I said, we got so many levels to talk about, and I can't wait to have you back and to talk about your newest projects and everything. Y'all make sure that you are watching out on Miss Marlene and you're checking her out. Marlene Proctor, the actress. Did I get that right?
Yes, you
on
did.
On all platforms.
With two E's, y'all. Marlene Proctor, the actress, with two E's.
In the middle.
In the middle.
L-E-E-N. Not L-E-N-E.
Yeah, and my mom said she spelled it wrong, but to me, that's right.
It sounds right. It looks right.
I mean, it looks right.
But you know how some of us can be sometimes. Like, oh, two E's.
Yes.
L-E-E-N-E. No,
okay,
baby.
Yeah, no,
L-E-E-N.
Yes.
You gotta lean
with it.
Y'all make sure y'all like, follow, and subscribe to Dr. O After Dark. You can find us at Dr. Olivia West on all platforms. And again, remember, I am looking for what's they called? See?
Sponsors.
Yes. Y'all see, I gotta look and see what I got in this cup. I am looking for sponsors.
Is that what you were trying to say?
That is it. So if you're interested, holler at your girl.